This morning, we want to look at a very simple message. But before you sit down, want to read the Word of God together in concert. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave a parable in Matthew 21, and we're going to read 28 through to 32. Matthew 21, 28 through to 32. If there's any word that needs to be taken more seriously, it has to be what the Lord said, what Jesus himself said, and what the Father commanded through his servants. Let's read together, one, two, go. But what think ye? A certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, son, go walk today in my vineyard. I will not. But afterwards, he regretted it and went. Then he came to the second and said, likewise. And he answered and said, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said to him, the first. Jesus said to them, absolutely. I said to you that tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but tax collectors and harlots believed him. And when you saw it, you relent and believe on him. Praise the Lord. I have it in King James in my brain. Praise the Lord. We also want to look at James. James chapter 1, 22 through to 25. James 1, 22 through to 25. Let's read together, one to go. Father, we come before you this morning. We come to receive ears that hear. We come with ears that needs to be opened up. We also pray, oh Lord, that you give us a heart that will follow your word. As your word comes to us, oh Lord, today, let us be transformed. Let us be transformed by the power of your word. So that our time here together today will not be a wasted time. Spirit of a living God, I welcome you and I ask you one more time to come and walk on our lives inside out in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, eternal Lord, in Jesus' name. Let us be seated. Like I said, it's a very simple preaching, or should I say, I want to call it a Bible study format. And I've titled it Memory versus Priorities. Memory versus Priorities. Hallelujah. I'm sure every one of us want God's blessings. Everybody wants God's blessings. I have never met somebody who does not want the blessings of God. But not everybody wants the responsibility attached to the blessings of God. Not everyone wants the responsibility of obedience to the word of God, obedience to the ways of God, and obedience to the voice of God. Most of the time, the word of God goes against our mindset. The word of God goes against our preconceived notions. The word of God goes against what we have been taught while we were growing up. And we also find out that the ways of God are different from our ways. And we find it difficult to adjust to the ways of God, because it seems that the ways of God is longer, a longer path to the end than our ways, because in our own mind we think we can quickly get there the way we choose to get there. We also find it difficult to reject the voice of God because we have so many voices speaking to us. We have so many suggestive voices speaking to us. We forget that the Bible says if we hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, he said, these blessings will follow you. These blessings will be your portion. If we diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord, if we are able to sift every other voice and make sure that we connect and stick with the voice of the Lord. Because the voice of God is not the voice that shouts at you. The voice of God is not the voice that forces you to do anything. As a matter of fact, the Bible calls it the still small voice. And the voice of God also comes from the pulpit, the bona fide children of God. Many have believed the lie that have proceeded from the pulpit. Many have believed the lies of that men manufactured by themselves. Many have believed because a group of people who may be more than this other group of people are saying this is what is supposed to be. But we forget that God doesn't work with a majority. God doesn't follow a majority. God does not change his voice because more people say what they want against what God said. No matter who follows the voice of God, whether plenty or small, God will follow his own will. Praise the Lord. And I found out that the word of God can inspire. The word of God can inspire you without transforming you. You can become inspired without transformation. And I'll tell you the difference in a minute. Inspiration is an outside thing. Inspiration can caress you. I remember David going before the Lord after the situation in Ziklag when Mount Raiders had come and taken all their people, and David went to encourage himself in the Lord. In another word, David went to inspire himself with God, and God spoke to him and God encouraged him, and he asked God, should I go after them? And God said, yes, go. At the moment David rose up to go, there was a transformation in his heart. Because you may be inspired but not transformed, because the only way you can be transformed is when you do what you are inspired to do. I thought I would hear an amen right there. Inspiration, it's an outside thing, while transformation is an inside work. Praise the Lord. Transformation is what gives longevity to you and I in this Christian race. Transformation is what makes us run this race to the very end. I saw a lady wore a t-shirt yesterday. At the back is written, start strong. And I said in my mind, that's good. But it's better to start strong and finish well. Praise the Lord. Because you may start strong and not finish well. You see, transformation is what makes you start strong and finish well. Praise the Lord. We cannot deny the fact that we have been receiving inspirational messages, motivational messages for years. But without the resultant effect, because if we are not doing what we are hearing, we can't see the transformation of the power of what we are hearing. Brethren, I know of a certainty that there's no blessing. There's no blessing connected to just hearing the word of God. There's no blessing. The blessing is connected to doing the word. When we do the word, then we find the blessing. Or then we contact and connect the blessing. James chapter 1 and verse 21 says, wherefore lay apart or lay aside all superfluity of nothingness or filthiness. He says, receive the with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. Should I tell you here that Apostle James was actually speaking to believers, not unbelievers. He was speaking to those who have already been blood washed. He was speaking to those who have already confessed Jesus as their Lord and Savior and said that then you receive the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Your spirit man is saved when you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, but your soul is still in the wilderness. That's why training is required. It's like you gain employment into an establishment, but they still have to train you in how they operate in that establishment before you can become a bona fide member of that place. Praise the Lord. So God wants us to be trained in our soul, in our mind, and the only thing that can train us is the Word of God. So I have a question for you and myself. And I want you to answer this within yourself truthfully. Does the word of God cut through your heart anymore? Does the word of God pierce through your heart anymore? The songwriter said, I need you more. More than anything. More than my next heartbeat, I need you more. Does the word cut through our hearts anymore? Or the word just flushes over us as if nothing. We hear it as if we didn't receive anything. Listening to the word, learning the word is not just about knowledge. The most important reason why we are hearing the word and knowing the word is so that we can apply the word. So when you hear and don't do, what you are doing is you are denting the purpose of God for that word that was sent. Jesus gave us a parable of a family. The father said, go and do this for me. And the young man said, no, I'm not going. The father left him alone. And called his other son, go. And he said, yes, I will go. But he did not go. He was the first son who thought back. Because what he heard transformed him. He thought back and said, my father said I will go. I said, no, but now I'm going. I've shared with us before. Which of those sons will you say is your favorite? I know the world says we love our children equally, but we lie to ourselves. The one who does what we say is the one we draw closer more than any other one. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, if we look in scriptures, for example, we see what the word of God is profitable for. He didn't say the word of God is detrimental to our lives. He said it's profitable. 2 Timothy 3 and 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. Why? He says it's profitable. The word of God is what? Profitable. Not the one we hear, but the one we do is profitable. It's profitable for doctrine, for a lifestyle. It's profitable to correct. It's profitable for correction. It's profitable for instruction in righteousness. Praise the Lord. Anytime the word of God is coming to you, don't think about somebody else. A lady after the service one day stood back to greet the pastor at the door. And she shook the pastor vigorously and said, Pastor, that was a good word. That was a very, very, very good word. As a matter of fact, it's the word for the moment. And I know who that word is for. In our mind, the word is for somebody else and not ourselves. When you hear the word, are you thinking of somebody else? Or are you thinking of yourself? Because if you think the word is for somebody else, as the word is coming, you are not going to be receiving it to apply it to yourself. We look at the word, we study the word, we hear the word. What does it do? The word shows us what we really look like. The word is like a mirror. Like James said, through the word we look at our lives. And we make adjustment to the distortions of our lives from inside out. Because the word is the only one that has a capacity to show us who we really are. Even prophet Isaiah, who has been prophesying for long, he said he saw the Lord seated on the throne. That day he said, I hate myself. I'm a man of unclean lips. I see my mess. I see my dirtiness. I thought I was all that when I'm nothing. I'm not there at all. The word of God shows us our deficiencies as much as it encourages us to change our lives. We've prayed twice today that the word of God is like a hammer that will break in pieces. It can break somebody else's heart in pieces and not break the other person's heart in pieces. You know why? Because the one who receives it will receive the brokenness. The one who does not receive it will not receive the brokenness. And God cannot put his hand on a vessel that is not ready to be broken. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, he said, present yourselves, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, blameless, acceptable unto God. He says, why? So that you may know what your reasonable service is. He says, be ye renewed in your mind. Be ye transformed. What can transform me? What can transform you? If you are a woman and you are reading all these romantic novels that are lying to you and painting the picture of how love is, how marriage is, oh, your husband, and you will be just floating in the air, you are lying to yourself. Don't let meals and bones transform you. I'm somebody that loves, I love watching informative medical shows. I just know, I don't know why, I'm drawn to it. You know, oh, somebody is sick, they bring them to the hospital and the doctors are going in and doing this and doing that. But in reality, those shows are just shows. It doesn't happen like that in the hospital. I'm also somebody who likes to watch HGTV, house building and whatnot in real estate and stuff like that. But you see somebody now, in 5 minutes, transform a floor. A floor is never transformed in 5 minutes. It's a movie. They have edited and edited and edited. They didn't show you when they failed and how they did it right. They just show you the finished product. And then you say you want to try it, your back will break. Praise the Lord. So the word of God is our mirror that shows us our real appearance. But then, if we compare the word of God and the real mirror, I'll tell you the difference in a minute. The mirror will show you what you look at, what you look like outwardly. But the word of God will show you what you look like inwardly. Praise the Lord. The word, the Bible says, a revealer of every thought and the intentions of our hearts. The word of God reveals our ugly self-centeredness, our ugly self centered attitudes and pride. Only the word of God can actually truly reveal our hatred for other people. Like a comedian that said he was going to a church and the church was made of plank. He said, let me just be going there to be managing the church. And this guy's appearance is really ugly. He said he didn't realize that it was the church that was managing him. That he said, whenever the pastor wants to do a demonstration between devil and something, they always use him as the devil. He said, when they made altar call, he went for altar call and the pastor said, no, go back. That is not everybody that God wants to save. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. The word of God exposes our deception. But you know, the truth of matter is, when the word of God exposes our deceptions, it does not expose it to the person seated next to you. It exposes it to you. It exposes to you your greed, your lust, asking you to do something about it. How can the word of God do us any good when it reveals all the vile things in our lives and then we still do nothing about it? Somebody said that the default mode of a dead heart is hearing the word and not leaning towards doing the word. The default mode of a dead heart is hearing the word but not leaning towards doing the word. The word of God requires a deliberate focus. Deliberate focus and hard work in application. We don't come to church and everyone marks a register present. It means nothing if we are not impacted by it. If the word we hear does not impact us. You look at the mirror physically. You see that something is wrong in your appearance. Are you not supposed to? Will you not adjust yourself? Deliberately adjust yourself? And if you don't do that, then you just walk away without adjusting yourself. It's like you forgot what you used to look like or what you looked like when you were looking in the mirror. Now my question is, when you see yourself in the mirror and the mirror shows you really who you are and you are not looking good in the mirror, do you blame the mirror? Is the mirror at fault? So when the word of God is revealing us to us, why do we get angry at the word? Is it the word that is at fault? The word of God is never at fault, brethren. The word of God has a standard. It cannot be lowered. That standard is unmovable. It's called the God standard. We can't blame the word for what it reveals in our lives. So if we are not adjusting, who are we deceiving? The Bible says we deceive ourselves. What I found out is everybody does whatever they regard as a priority to them. We are quick to forget the word. But we embrace whatever we have lifted above the word. What anything you lift above the word of God becomes a priority in your life. So it's about your memory and your priorities. Did you suddenly forget what you were taught or what you heard in the word of God, the preaching of the word that you heard, that you received, you heard it? You can't say, I didn't hear it. But when you left the place from where you heard it, you suddenly forgot it. You know why you forgot it? It's because you have made something else a priority above the word. Anytime we rank anything above the word of God, guess what we have done? We are reducing the value of the word to ourselves, not the value of the word in itself. Because the value of the word of God cannot be reduced, but the value of the word of God to us ourselves can be reduced. That kind of a person is saying to themselves that the word of God is not all that important. The word of God is not a priority in their lives. The Bible is full of scriptures. Scriptures that charges us to be very careful not forgetting God. But anytime you don't prioritize God, anytime you don't prioritize God's word, you start to forget God. And it will still look as if you are with God. Let me give us a few examples because of time. Deuteronomy 6 and verse 12. You see, the children of Israel actually did not have a problem of memory, because every now and then they are reminded. Just like we are reminded every now and then. Oh, evangelism is a priority. But do you prioritize it? Oh, it's the pastor's responsibility. Moses said to the children of Israel, in Deuteronomy 6 and 12, he said, then beware. Beware lest you forget the Lord. Beware, be careful that you don't forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Don't we quickly forget the one who saved us? Don't we quickly forget the one who gave us another opportunity? Don't we quickly forget the one who woke us up? Because if it's a priority, you prioritize waking up in the morning and saying, glory be to your holy name. And say, let me join the brethren in the place of prayer. If it's a priority, we'll find time every day to even get a scripture into our minds. He said, do not forget. Beware lest you forget the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Is it not Jesus Christ that died for you and I? Is it not him that brought us out of darkness into his light? Is it not he that promised to sustain us? Has he not been the provider in our lives? Look at Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. This was Moses to the children of Israel also. Two chapters later. And you shall remember the Lord your God. You shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what is in your heart, whether you will keep his commandments or not. Don't forget, remember him. David said, bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name, Psalm 103. He said, forget not that the benefit you are enjoying is from him. If God switches off the light, everybody is gone. If God stops the sun from shining in this country for one day, 24 hours darkness. Do you know how many people will perish? How many things will be destroyed? Can you imagine God stopping the soil from yielding? You know how many of us will go hungry? Psalm 106 and verse 7. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember. Why? Because they did not prioritize him. Yet they ate heavenly baked cake every day. They wanted meat. His wind blew quails 3 feet high that covered the whole camp. You couldn't see the ground. 3 feet high. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies. When you look at yourself and you think you are all that, remember God. Look at Malachi chapter 4 and verse 4. Prophet Malachi charging the people, remember the law of Moses, my servant. This is God speaking through him, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and the judgment. Do we prioritize God on our day-to-day basis? Are you still going to forget him after you leave here? Because I know, brethren, we do not have a memory problem. We have a priority problem. Let me bring it down to my home. You know, right now, I'm really grateful to God that we only have 2 children in our home. Because if they were more than that, I don't know what I would have done. You know, you wake them up in the morning, go and brush your teeth, and have your bath. You turn your back. Though they are awake, but they are doing something else. You go back again. I said, brush your teeth, have your bath, or in the night, go and sleep. Then you hear ruckus all over the place. Go and sleep. We will wake you up tomorrow morning for prayers, and I don't want you dozing during prayer. Go and sleep. Okay, Dad. Okay, Mom. 2 seconds. The same thing. Now you go there. Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot. No, they didn't forget. But their priority was not bathing or brushing their teeth. Their priority was not sleeping. Their priority was playing. So they will now deliberately choose to do what? Forget. And say, I forgot. Give me another chance. And that's how we have been. We have selective amnesia because we don't want to prioritize God. I want to encourage us today. I want to challenge you and I to rearrange our priorities. We need to rearrange our priorities. Where have you put God in the order of things in your life? Where is God there? Where is he? In everything you do, where is he? Is he still number one? Is he still at the top? Do you have fear in your heart when you don't do what God says to be done? Or that fear is gone? There's no trembling in your heart anymore. Oh, God said I should do this. This is what the Lord commands. If that fear is not there anymore, please don't say I'm born again. No, you are born again. It's a born again, not born again. God has to be at the uppermost part of our heart every day. We need to let God and His word, His ways, His plans, His purposes to be the first in every area of our lives. Jesus said, which of the two did the will of the Father? The one that heard and said, I will, or the one that heard and said, I will not, and yet he went, and the one who said, I will, and did not? Which one did the will of the Father? And Jesus likened it to the people we may relegate as nobodies. Say, we'll be surprised that we'll find them in heaven that day. If you look at what is going on in America today, I never knew a day would come for me to say this. Look at Kanye West. From just a rapper, now he's preaching the gospel. And hundreds of people are responding to the call of accepting Jesus as Lord and Savior. He's springing up crusades anywhere and using it to preach the gospel. We think, who is Kanye West? The rapper that has rapped this, da-da-da-da. But God found an unlikely source. My prayer is that those people who raised up their hands to give themselves to Christ will find a Bible-believing church where they can grow in the word. He says, if you refuse me, I will raise up stones. He said, that day, you will see the publicans and the harlots that believed in him. He said, John has come to you as preached. Carl has come to you and preached. You may think, what is wrong with this guy? I'm trying my best. God is not asking you to try your best. I said here before, God is not asking for anybody's commitment. He's asking for our surrender. Praise the Lord. God is not asking for your commitment. He's asking for your surrender. To surrender is, I have nothing else. I'm yours. You can uncommit yourself. If you want to move from surrender to anything, it has to be that you want to escape. I want us to pray. Because my time is up. I haven't gone beyond my time. I want you to talk to the Lord and ask for forgiveness. Repenting here today. Any way, anything you have put above God, just ask God for mercy. Even when we have put our children, our families, even our needs above God, let's ask Him for mercy. Let's ask Him for mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. Any time that I put anything above you, anything that I have lifted above you right now, Lord, I'm asking you to be merciful unto me. Lord, as your sons and daughters are speaking, search out our hearts. Be merciful, O God. Lord, I can speak for myself that you have mercy on me. Whatever I've lifted up above you at any point in time, Lord, I relegate them below you right now. And I'll let them remain there because you are the primary factor of my life. What a sound. Can you play that song, Draw Me Close to You? Ask the Lord to draw you closer to himself and let him know from the depths of your heart that you follow him.